Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. You can listen to our sermons and other podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or any popular podcasting platform. Our worship times are on Sundays at 9 and 10:45 a.m. This week, Pastor Jordan continues our series, Reason to Believe, with a sermon titled, Does Doubt Mean I Do Not Have Faith? Scripture comes from Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Russ started us on a new series last week, and it's called Reason to Believe. And last week we talked about, does science make faith irrelevant? And Russ's short answer is no. But if you want to hear more about that, you can listen to it online. But essentially what we're talking about through this series is questions that we all have about our faith, questions that I think next week Russ is going to tackle the topic of, is the Bible trustworthy? We talk about science, and there's some other things down the pipeline, but today we're going to talk about doubt, because without doubt, we wouldn't have any of these questions that we're asking. So for doubt is something that makes us kind of suspicious of truth, makes us not certain. We're not quite sure which way is up or down. Doubt is something that we all live with in different parts of our lives. But in faith, sometimes that seems like it doesn't belong, because we're supposed to have faith. We're supposed to be certain of our faith. And so doubt is this, it feels like this, it almost feels like an enemy that walks in to your compound. And you don't know quite what to do with it. Now, all of us have had doubt. All of us are human. We've been let down by other people. We've been let down by religious institutions. We've been let down by God, maybe, sometimes. And that's when we start to wonder about our faith, about God, and how God is active in our lives. So does doubt reveal a lack of faith? That's what we're going to talk about today. Does having doubt in your faith reveal the fact that maybe you don't pray enough? Maybe you don't read the Bible enough? Maybe sometimes we feel that way. But I think short answer for today's sermon is no. And so let's talk about that. Maybe sometimes you think that your faith is just, you get to a point where it feels like maybe it's just superstition. Maybe I'm just doubting that this is even real. Maybe it's something I believe in to make me feel better. Maybe it's something that helps me be a better person. But maybe it just isn't real. And sometimes in our lives, it can feel very real. Sometimes in our lives, it can not feel real at all. And so maybe a lot of us are sitting in this place of feeling doubt within our faith. Doubt can come through a multitude of things. Maybe you've read a book. Maybe you listened to a podcast that shook your faith in some way. Maybe Russ's sermon last week raised a lot of questions for you, and now you don't know what to do. Maybe you had a moment where you've had great tragedy or loss in your life, and you feel like, why would God let that happen? Doubt could come in many different ways, and it enters from many different doors. And it feels like when you have that doubt, it feels like the floor kind of just drops out from underneath you. Have any of you had one of those moments where you learn something, or you hear something, or you experience something, and it just feels like things just kind of fall out from underneath you? Have we all felt that way in some place or another? I'd like to call these uh-oh moments. Those moments, and you see your kids, when something happens, they say, uh-oh. But as adults, we also have uh-oh moments, where we experience something, and we're like, uh-oh. Everything has changed, and it's never going to be the same again. So why are we afraid to doubt? It can feel scary. Having doubt in our faith can feel like we aren't a good enough Christian, or we're not doing enough, that maybe we're not enough for God. It could shake the foundations of the stuff we've learned throughout our lives. And so then we're in this playing field of, we don't know what is true anymore. And for those of us here who are very black and white type of people, that there's good and bad, there's no gray areas or in between, if you have doubt, that can feel like a very, very scary place. It threatens everything we know. Doubt comes in and helps us question about the things that we believe, that we hold certain. It threatens the very dogma that we hold. Now, even if it's not about faith, maybe it's politics, maybe it's family relationships, but doubt could come in and all those things that we think we know for certain works, doubt comes and says, does it? And so doubt in itself can oftentimes really threaten everything we know ourselves to be. Sometimes doubt comes in and tells us that God is a liar. I think the Psalms are a good place to see a lot of this, a lot of doubt, a lot of anguish. Particularly in Psalm 88, it says, "But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness." This is written at a time where the Israelites were taken over by the Babylonians. And God had promised them that the line of David would succeed and rule over the Israelites. But now the Babylonians are in charge, and they feel like God has not kept God's promise. So this is a psalm of anguish, of doubt, of wondering if God is even there because this promise that God had given has not been kept. So it's not only in our lives that we experience doubt, but the Bible can be riddled with doubt from people writing the Psalms, Proverbs, letters. That doubt is something that we as humans experience together. Doubt is something that also tells us things are not as they should be, and maybe, just maybe, God is at fault. Maybe that is where your doubt comes from. Maybe for you, you see the injustices in the world. Maybe for you, you see the greed and corruption in the world. You see people who say one thing but do another. You see people that want to help others but hurt others when they're trying to do it. It feels like everything we see going on is like, God, where are you? Maybe for some of you, the question about science making faith irrelevant is a key point for you. Maybe you see that all that science has proven and it makes you doubt that God is real or present. In my own life, I've had moments of doubt. One particular story I want to share with is when I went to seminary, and some people call seminary cemetery because they like to think seminary is the place where your faith goes to die. So one of the things that shook my faith in seminary is, and it kind of happened slowly over time, because in college we started to learn about this, but seminary is really where we started to learn about how is the Bible put together? Where did it come from? And that was one of the things that really shook me, because for a long time I thought, well, the Bible is the divine word of God. It just was given. You kind of imagine like the cloud and the Bible just thump, drops to the ground. But really what happened was the Bible and its stories for hundreds of years was an oral tradition passed along from family to family. And if you have ever played the phone game in youth group or other places, you know that that could go badly real quick. That the thing that was told at the beginning of the game, it goes around a circle to each person that they whisper it to them. By the time it gets to the last person in the group, the statement that you made at the beginning is totally different. And so when you think of that game in terms of oral tradition for hundreds of years, you start doubting real quick. And then not even that, but then the canon of the Bible was put together over many, many years and many different synods. There was the Council of Nicaea in 325. And if we think of history, year zero is kind of that time of Jesus after death, you know. So 325, 300 years later. And then in 393, there's Synod of Hippo in Africa, but not real hippos. Somebody was named Hippo. And Council of Trent in 1546 finally was a place where some of this was reaffirmed and the canon was kind of set. And there's many different councils and synods that went through all of it and decided what their canon is. And so for me, this put a lot of doubt into the fact that I saw a lot of human fingerprints all over the Bible. Not just in putting it together, but then you start to learn about the writers of each book, and each writer has a distinct style. Each writer has an idea of who God is and who we should be in relationship to God, and sometimes they differ. And so this kind of put me in a place where I started to reel and doubt. Is this even real? This seems like it was just put together by humans. Maybe we're just using it to control people in certain ways. Many different thoughts went in and out of my mind during this year in seminary. I was scared. The floor was dropped out from under me. It also, especially in faith, there's like this feeling of if I don't really believe this or I'm questioning it, there's this fear of the eternal damnation too. That all of a sudden I was wondering, oh no, am I going to hell? Because I don't believe this or that, or I'm questioning this and that. Maybe this is the end for me. Maybe I'm on that downward slope to being a heathen. Those are the thoughts that kind of go through your head when you start to get scared of your own doubt. And I decided I could either just kind of drown in that despair of doubt, or I could learn how to lean into it. Maybe I could learn how to use that doubt in a way that helps me strengthen my faith and my relationship with God. I'm going to end this first part with a quote from Barbara Brown Taylor. We'll talk about it more in the second part. She says, "Does the existence of doubt in the worship of Jesus mean that something is wrong, or does it mean that something is right? When people with no idea how deep the water really is step out on it anyway, trusting that even their doubt cannot separate them from the love of God." Wally's going to come up in a minute and lead us in a time of prayer of expressing our doubts, but as he comes up, we're going to take just a moment of silence to kind of think about in your life, in your faith, what are some places that you struggle, some places that you doubt in your own faith. There is a comic strip, Hagar the Horrible, and I couldn't find this one exact strip, but this is how it goes. We find Hagar kneeling in prayer. And he says, "It's not easy to believe in you, God. We never see you. How come you never show yourself? How do we know you even exist?" And then the next panels start to show a flower springing into life beside Hagar, a volcano erupting in the distance, an eclipse of the sun turning the sky black, a star shooting across the sky, a tidal wave rushing over Hagar, lightning flashing, a bush beginning to burn, and a stone rolling away from the entrance of a tomb. Hagar pulls himself up from the mud, dripping wet, surrounded by darkness. Okay, I give up. Every time I bring up the subject, all we get is interruptions. And this is kind of how we tend to treat doubt, especially in religious institutions, is that you are just not looking in the right place, or you're just not praying hard enough, you're not having enough faith. that you are just blind to what's going on. So then we downplay the doubts and the questions people have. When we have this faith that we feel so certain of, that when there's questions or doubt that comes in, we feel like the system is under attack. And so then we put up our guard, we put up our walls, and we say, you can't ask that question. We don't want to think about that. That's going to make everything come crumbling down. And for some, this means that their own community of faith, their relationships with people in that community, with people that they love, they end up letting them down, which then undermines their faith on a deeper level. And that's why people tend to walk away because of their doubt, because their communities, their relationships have let them down in their questions. Not that we don't have the answers, but the fact that maybe we put up our walls and we say, well, don't ask that. We don't accept that here. That's when Christianity, that's when faith starts to become irrelevant to them. That's when doubt can start to lead people away from the faith. It's not so much doubt, but it's the people who reject it. Several months ago, we had a couple come to Theology on Tap. They had been visiting different churches in the area, and their story was that they were at a church up near Denver somewhere, and they started having this kind of crisis of faith. They started asking questions. They started doubting. They started asking the questions at their small group. Their small group didn't know how to handle it, and they kind of asked them to stop asking those questions, that you should just follow this. This is what we believe. And so then it started to feel like they were no longer welcome in their faith community. So they were on a search for a new one. But really, when we think about doubt, it's not doubt so much that keeps us away from God or faith, but it's when those around us, when our communities, our religious institutions deny us of asking those questions. That's why doubt tends to be this question of, if I doubt, is my faith now irrelevant? It's because the people around me have rejected these questions. Peter Enns said this about communities, a community of faith that he calls it eats their own. He says, a faith that eats its own for doubting sends a red flare to the rest of humanity that Christianity is just another exclusive members-only club, and that Jesus is a lingering relic of antiquity rather than a powerful, presenting, defining spiritual reality. A means of gaining power rather than relinquishing it. And who needs that really? When it becomes about just retaining our power, our control, our certainty, that's when we start to seem irrelevant. But when we accept those questions, when we let the doubt in, when we lean into it, it's something that helps us to have a faith that has open hands rather than closed fists. Because with open hands, there's some things that can land on it. We can let it fall off. It doesn't bother us very much. But clenched fists, you're holding on to something for dear life. And in Jesus' life, didn't Jesus oftentimes walk around with his hands open to the things coming before him, the questions coming before him, the people coming before him? He always had this sense of open hands. So our scripture today, Matthew 28, it talks about some doubted. This is the Great Commission. This is after Jesus is resurrected and all the disciples are brought together. And this is when Jesus says, go make disciples, spread the word. And there's just this little detail in there that says they worshiped him, but some still doubted. And if any of you are big writers or readers, these little details matter. They're put in there for a reason. It's not just a throwaway comment of explaining the situation, but that there were actually some disciples that still doubted what was going on after everything that had occurred. It didn't mean that they didn't want to follow Jesus anymore, or they thought it was all fake, but there's just this sense of, is this real? Is this happening? And I think that's in there to help us, even today, to feel confident even in our doubts. Doubting can be hard, it can be painful. I know during my time in seminary, with my dilemma with the Bible and other issues, it felt very painful. I oftentimes try to describe it as Velcro tearing, right? When you have to tear Velcro off, it not that it's painful. I don't know how Velcro feels. But it is this tearing, that there's things that were clinging together, but you're tearing it apart, and it feels painful. But there's often stories in the Bible that show that sometimes we have to walk through pain to come out the other side. Jacob wrestling God, Jacob walks away with a limp. That sometimes when we lean into our doubt, when we lean into our faith, when we want to grow deeper, there may be some pain involved. But coming out on the other side, now you have a faith that's rooted in trust rather than certainty. A trust in God that feels like it can't really be shaken. I was trying to explain this to a family member a couple weeks ago, that my faith now feels more firm than it ever has been. Even though I have doubts, even though I have this feeling of like kind of this gray area that sometimes it's like, well, maybe it's this or maybe it's that. I don't know. But there's this firm foundation now that there's just a trust that God's got it covered. And that's where my doubt led me, to that place in faith. It's almost like if any of you have rescued a dog that has maybe been in an abusive home or with an abusive owner, you know that takes time for them to start to trust you. And dogs have that ultimate trust, right? They don't know what's going on in our minds. They don't know what we're always doing. But they trust that you're going to take care of them. I think at the beginning, one of the things the kids said that Nick read was that love is your dog happy to see you even though you left them home alone all day. They never know if you're coming back. That's why they get so panicked sometimes. But there's a trust that you're there to provide for them. In some ways, that's a trust that doubt can lead us to in God. God is in control, and it's not meant to be a hokey God is in control, because sometimes we hear that, right? That don't worry, God's in control, God's got it, you don't have to worry about these things, but there's really a lot of real worries we should have. But it's more of, you know what, no matter what we do, no matter how much we doubt, no matter how deep we go into the darkness, that there's nothing we can do to make God love us any more or any less, and God is never going to leave us. I think that's the type of faith that doubt can lead us to. A trust, a stableness, that no matter what, God is with you.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. And if you enjoy our podcast, please rate and review us, share us with your friends, and we will see you next time.